Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Let's read. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, we would continue on and cover more of the conversation, but there's so many great things that happen in the conversation with this woman. Today, we thought we would just set the stage and tell you something about Samaria and why they had this conversation beginning the way that they did. Now, the way that Israel is divided, you have Judea in the south and Galilee in the north. In the middle of the country is Samaria. The first 42 verses of this chapter deal with an incident that occurred in Samaria with that woman at Jacob's well. In this lesson, we're going to study a little geography, and we're going to study a little history so that you will know more about the background and more about the location of this place and the reason for that woman's surprise when Jesus asked her for a drink of water. Now, the first thing we want to look at is we want to look at this region of Samaria. The first part of the chapter we dealt with yesterday when we dealt with this thing about the Pharisees hearing that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, that we dealt with when we talked about the need for Jesus Christ to increase. We knew that he would actually get more disciples because, after all, John simply came that others would follow Jesus and only follow him to that point. So picking up with chapter 4 in verse 3, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, so he's traveling north. That would mean, therefore, that he would have to go through Samaria, as verse 4 says. Now, this area, this region, it says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. All right, this region of Samaria. I want to study that a little bit so you can figure out where it came from, how it got its name, and so forth like that. So what let's do is go back to the Old Testament and look at some of these things. This region of Samaria originally was a city of Samaria, and it was founded by a king named Omri, and it became the capital of Israel, that is, the 10 northern tribes of Israel after the divided kingdom. Okay, let's go back to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16. And look in verse 21. Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people that followed Omri prevailed against the people that followed Tibni, the son of Ginath. So Tibni died, and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel, 12 years. 6 years reigned he in Tirzah, And he bought the hill Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver, and built on the hill, and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill, Samaria. And then Omri, it turns out, was a very wicked king. He's Ahab's father. And you know how the kingdom just goes downhill under that whole rule there. And it really eventually ends up that the 10 northern tribes were ransacked. But that thing, that city there, Samaria, is named for Shemer, the person that Omri bought that hill from in order to set up that a capital city for the northern tribes. You see, under Jeroboam, when he became king of the 10 northern tribes after the split, you know, following Solomon's rule, Jeroboam was concerned that the Jews would travel back down to Jerusalem and eventually the kingdoms would reunite. So he set up 2 golden calves, one in Bethel and one in Dan. The capital city then moved under Omri, and by that time then it was well established as the capital city of the 10 northern tribes. Now, Omri, just to put all this in chronological order, is the king that bought this area and made this capital city. And he did that somewhere between 927 and 916 B.C. He is the 6th king of the northern tribes. The first one was Jeroboam, then Nadab, then Baasha, then Elah, then Zimri, then Omri. And his son Ahab was the one that succeeded him. And that was all done between 927 and 916 A.D., at the time that Asa is still ruling in the 2 southern tribes of Judah. Asa was the 3rd king of Judah, following Rehoboam and Abijam. Now, that capital city then actually became the name not only of the capital city, but also the name of the territory or the region. And that region was attacked by Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, during the reign of Hoshea, king of Israel, while Hezekiah was ruling over the 2 southern tribes, while Hezekiah was king in Judah. Now let's look at this. Go to 2 Kings chapter 18. The attack actually takes place in 2 Kings chapter 17, but we'll go to 2 Kings 18 because there's a good summary. 2 Kings chapter 18, look at verse 9. It came to pass in the 4th year of King Hezekiah, which was the 7th year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years they took it, even in the 6th year of Hezekiah, that is the 9th year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Halah, and in Habor by the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them, nor do them. So this attack by Shalmaneser was against the capital city, and then he took the people out of there. You'd say this was a diaspora, a dispersion of the Jews. Took them out of there and moved them to Halah, Habor, by the river of Gozan, in the cities of the Medes. That was all done by Shalmaneser against Hoshea, who was the 19th king of Israel and the last king of Israel before the Assyrian captivity. Everything wrapped up about 721 B.C. right there. So basically, Samaria, the capital city, was in existence about 200 years. But notice the whole area, the whole region became known as Samaria. Now we'll go back to 2 Kings chapter 17 and look what Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, did in this region. 2 Kings chapter 17, look at verse 24. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities, see that, in the cities of Samaria, not just the city of Samaria, but the cities. So it's a region now of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. So what he did, as we saw in 2 Kings 18, he took the children of Israel out of there and moved them into the cities of the Medes and those other places, and then took people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, and Hamath, and Sepharvaim, and brought them into the cities of Samaria. Kind of another diaspora for those people, a dispersion there. And they possessed Samaria, and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, Carry thither one of the priests, whom ye brought from thence. And let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the manner of the God of the land. Well, the priests that he's going to take back are priests that succeed, basically in the office that Jeroboam had set up. These are not Levitical priests. These are priests of the lowest order. They're idolatrous men, but presumably knew a little bit about the customs concerning God Almighty. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel. That's where one of the golden calves was that Jeroboam had set up, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burnt their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Anammelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. So they feared the Lord, and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord, and they served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. So what you've got then in the region of Samaria is that you do not have full-blooded Jews. As a matter of fact, the Jews have been taken and they've been moved to other regions, like we read in 2 Kings 18. And the people that were in those regions, the Jews were moved to Halah and Habor and the cities of the Medes. And then the people from Babylon and Cutha and Ava and Hamath and Sepharvaim were moved into the territory of Samaria. So what you have then is you've got mixed breeding going on with the Jews that remained, and you have idolatry going on in that area after the capture, after the besieging of Samaria and the overthrow of the king. That's what Samaria is. So geographically, we know it's located between Judea in the south and Galilee in the north. And what do you say, politically or culturally, it is a mixed population of Babylonians and Avites and Sepharvaites and these ones that were brought in. And they're idolatrous, and they're, you know, intermarried, and anyway, it just really changed things. They're not pure-blood Jews there. Now, in reading our text in John chapter 4, when Jesus came into Samaria, he came into a city which is called Sychar, according to chapter 4, verse 5, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Well, we can locate the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. This city Sychar would be a city in Samaria, and it would be located southeast of the original city of Samaria near Mount Ebal. Let's go to the Old Testament and find this parcel of ground that Jacob bought and then eventually gave to Joseph. All right, Genesis chapter 33. See, what you're getting right now is more of a history and a geography lesson. And I don't know about you, but I remember when I was in school and I had to learn history and I had to learn geography, they were boring for me. They're not now, because everything that deals with geography and deals with history that is relative to God's plan, God's prophecies, God's Bible, that tremendously interesting. But I can understand going through this lesson today, it's a little bit weighty to have to try to go back and catch the history and the geography, but it helps you to understand why the woman in Samaria was surprised that Jesus Christ would even talk to her. All right, now back here in Genesis chapter 33, we find Jacob buying the parcel of ground. Genesis 33:18, Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohe Israel. Now this is the area where Dinah was raped by Shechem, the son of Hamor. They were Hivites. And Simeon and Levi were very upset about what happened. They tricked the men of the area and eventually killed all the men. So this place, from even back then, had a pretty tough reputation. Now look in Genesis chapter 48 at verse 22, where evidently Jacob gives this parcel of ground to Joseph. Genesis chapter 48, and look at verse 22. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Who's that addressed to? It's addressed to Joseph in verse 21. Look again in Joshua chapter 24 at verse 32. Joshua chapter 24, look at verse 32. Joshua 24, verse 32, the Bible says, the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. Well, that's just exactly what we're looking at here in John chapter 4. Verse 5, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So we've located the thing. It's that parcel of ground that was purchased there in Shechem from Hamor and given to Joseph. And that's the city that he went into. Now, there was a well there. According to verse 6, it was Jacob's well. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Well, this well, Jacob's well, I've got a picture of it here in one of the books that's in my library. At the time that Jesus Christ came and sat on this well and had this conversation with the woman, that well was 17 or 18 centuries old. You talk about productive and you talk about a landmark. Look in verse 12 of John chapter 4. The woman is concerned about the fact that Jesus Christ is offering her living water. And so she asks him a question. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? So this is literally a well that Jacob had that his children and his cattle drank from. And that means that thing would have been there for 1700 or 1800 years by the time this thing takes place. So you know this woman, it tells you something, would have a lot of pride. You see how she referred to her father Jacob? You see, the Jews didn't want anything to do with the Samaritans, and yet she could still trace lineage back to Jacob. Jews come from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so there was contention. And having a great landmark like Jacob's well in their area would certainly be significant. It would certainly be a point of contention between them and the Jews who didn't like them. It's kind of like the same problem that goes on between the Arabs and the Jews today, where the Arabs go back and have things to say about Ishmael, who is the son of Abraham, and then claim through pride a right to contention over the land of Canaan that the Jews now inhabit that was given to them by God Almighty. It's that kind of thing. So this well is very significant. That's a very significant landmark, a very important thing in Samaria. Okay, now the time of day was given. See, we're learning about the region, we're learning about the city, we're learning about the well. Learn about the time of day. The time of day was the sixth hour. The sixth hour would be noon, because in a Jewish clock, or a Jewish day, the actual time begins at 6 p.m. the night before. For instance, today is Thursday. Well, as Gentiles, we begin marking our day at midnight. So during the middle of the night, at 12:01, we started Thursday. And the first 6 hours of the day, more or less, were dark. And then the next 6 hours of the day were light, and the first 12 hours of the day took us to noon. And so at noon, we say it's 6 o'clock. I mean, at noon, we say it's 12 o'clock. But in a Jewish day, the day would actually begin at 6 p.m. or 6:01 p.m. In other words, in a Jewish day, Thursday would not begin at 12:01 a.m. It would begin at 6 p.m. and a second on Wednesday night, our time. So the first 12 hours of the day are actually nighttime for Thursday. And then the daytime begins to count. And so the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, 6 hours of the day are from sunup basically to noon. So the sixth hour of the day is noon. Notice from verse 8 that the disciples had gone to get something to eat. Well, of course they would. It was lunchtime, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. It's lunchtime. Noon. Look in Matthew chapter 20 and you'll see a good example of marking off this time during the day. The sixth hour of the day would be actually the 18th hour of the full day and the sixth hour of the daytime day. I'm marking 12 hours at night and 12 hours in the daytime. It's just like what we do. We have, now in military time, you go from 0 to 2400, but otherwise you'd go from 0 to 12 and then 0 to 12 again. So you have 1 o'clock in the morning, you have 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, same thing is true here. The sixth hour would be the sixth hour of the day. It's just that it would start at 6 a.m. and not at noon. All right, Matthew chapter 20. There is a parable concerning the kingdom of heaven. And the householder goes to get laborers. And he goes out in verse 3, the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, and hires these laborers. Now, when he starts this thing, he starts it early in the morning, first hour of the day, in verse 1. Then he goes back at 9 o'clock, the third hour of the day. Then he goes back at noon, the sixth hour of the day, according to verse 5. And he goes back at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour of the day. And he goes back at the 11th hour, according to verse 6, which would be 5 o'clock in the afternoon, to hire them for one more hour. So that'll give you a good parallel reference to what time of day it is when Jesus Christ meets this woman. Now, when he meets the woman and says, "Give me to drink," in verse 7, she says to him in verse 9, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And that's true. The reason being, those Samaritans are not full-blooded Jews. They are crossed with Babylonians and Sepharvaites and Avites and the other ones that were brought in there, and their high places had those gods. Notice verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. See, they even had different places to set up their worship, dating all the way back to what Jeroboam had done when he brought in those idolatrous golden calves. Now, Jesus Christ is going to lead this woman to the Lord, to the Messiah. But his instructions to his disciples when they began the ministry were to leave the Samaritans alone. Look in Matthew chapter 10 at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Luke chapter 9, the disciples are mistreated going into Samaria. They're ready to kill the Samaritans. Look in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. It came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You know not what manner of spirit you are of. So, even Jesus Christ respected this separation between the Samaritans and the Jews in their dealings, until he came through this area to deal with that woman and took advantage of the opportunity to help her find out that he was the Messiah, until he took advantage of this opportunity for some of the people that she knew in the city to come to know him as the Messiah. So it's a strange occurrence, given all the history of the differences between the Jews and the Samaritans, and given the instructions of Jesus Christ concerning his disciples, and concerning the disciples' reaction to the mistreatment by the Samaritans when Jesus was going to Jerusalem. It's a very interesting thing. This sets the stage for what happens next, but also shows you, when it gets right down to it, that God is no respecter of persons.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.